This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
9:17 a.m. You're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana and Phil. Let's get a quick update on the FBM KLCI.
Still flat, marginally down at 0.09%, trading at 1409.64. Singapore Straits Times is down 0.38% at 3206.92.
Okay, let's take a look at the transport sector, which is seeing clearer skies thanks to the reopening of borders and persistent demand for global air travel. As of January 2023, according to the International Air Transport Association, or IATA, global air traffic is at 84% of the level seen in January 2019, while capacity has also increased by 37% thanks to higher demand.
Aviation names like Capital A and Malaysia Airports Holdings Berhad have been capturing the demand as proven in their recent quarterly results, with a return the black after many consecutive quarters of losses. So is it time for a risk-on mode for the transportation sector?
For some analysis on this, we speak to Ahmad Maghfur Usman, equity analyst at Nomura Malaysia. Ahmad, good morning. Thanks as always for joining us. So you cover several aviation players in the region. Are you seeing a common recovery pattern across most of the players in the industry?
Yes, so they are actually growing in tandem in terms of recovery. I mean, if you look at pre-COVID levels for Singapore, that's sitting at about 78% as reported by Changi Airport. And then in Malaysia, slightly lower at 75%. Thailand, I think, is a bit much lower at 67%. And that's because a lot of Thai tourism is actually majority of it coming from China, and China pretty much delayed its reopening, right? So hopefully that number should normalize soon in the coming months ahead. So generally, yeah, I would say a pretty tandem recovery across the board in ASEAN. Of course, from an airline perspective, these numbers are based on airport numbers. From an airline perspective, across all airlines, it appears that Singapore Airlines seems to be the fastest. I think they're easily about closer to touching even at 85% of pre-COVID level in terms of passenger numbers.
Capital A and AirAsia X's share price have been ramping up recently. Is this thanks to Capital A's first quarterly profit since the pandemic? How sustainable is this rally?
The fourth quarter numbers, although it was a headline profit, but there was a lot of exceptional incomes. You have the Forex gain, you have the reversal of some provisions for the aircraft maintenance and whatnot. And then on Thai AirAsia side, there was also a sizable Forex gain from that side too. So if you strip those out, excluding the Thailand side, that's easily already about 200 million losses for the fourth quarter. So it's not really a profit, at least on the core level. But on the headline, yeah, because of these exceptional incomes, they were profitable. So I guess sentiment to the rally was driven by reopening team, Chinese coming in, which was a key factor. But I think from a valuation perspective, the stock price, in my view, looks fairly demanding. So I wouldn't jump the boat, basically, to chase the share price.
So what about in terms of MAHB and Subang Airport? Because the Cabinet has approved the Subang Airport Regeneration Plan after 2 years of deadlock. MAHB is taking charge of that. How impactful will this be for MAHB, and what will the capital outlay look like?
Well, Subang Airport was not meant to replace KLIA. It is more as a secondary airport. It will serve about 8 million passengers annually. So there will be a major bump up from the current size in terms of passenger handling capacity. I think it will serve a niche purpose, especially those closer to Kuala Lumpur. And with regards to capital outlay, we think that I think back in 2019, there was a news media article that mentioned that they were looking to pour in like somewhere to think about 400 million for the redevelopment plan. But that figure may change because whatever is happening with the airport regeneration announcement recently. I think the business proposal is due end of this month. So we are still awaiting for more details from the company on the updates for Subang. But generally, I think any capex will not be to the tune of billions. It would be relatively small compared to other major capex that MHB will commit to with regards to airport expansions.
And MEVCOM's newly released second consultation paper revealed several approaches to setting aviation charges. What were the key takeaways, and is there a concern of cash flow for MHB when the mechanism kicks in?
So there will be an increase, a slight bump up in increase. So for now, for regulatory period one, which commences in 2022 until end of 2025, the focus on charges will be more on inflation, and it will commence on 1st of January 2024. I think we're looking about 6% bump up from the current charges. Once the regulatory period one ends in 2025, then it will shift to a cost-based approach where there will be various factors depending on how much the OPEX and what the CAPEX needs are in determining these charges. Of course, there are other variables in the mix, but to put in a nutshell, that is the goal in the longer term with a more structured framework, so to speak. But we're still years down the road. It'll take quite some time to finalize the framework. Generally, what we are positive on is the fact the proposed regulated return, which basically is a cap on the EBIT that MHB is allowed to generate from the regulated asset, is slightly a bit higher compared to the proposed round back in 2019. So that's a bit on the positive side of things. Of course, there are a few things that could be seen as a negative. It's two things. One is the fact that the increase in charges will be inflation-based. And I think with the electricity tariff increase, what is reflected in the CPI may not really reflect the full impact of the increase in actual terms. And then also, secondly, it will be a hybrid till. A hybrid till is a definition where revenues from the retail section as well as concessions will be accounted as regulated. So once, if this is accounted as regulated, then it could potentially cap the long-term gains in terms of profitability for Malaysia Airport. So these are the two setbacks. But I think generally the fact that the regulated returns are slightly higher, we think it's overall a positive.
Turning to the shipping sector, two container shipping giants, MSC and Maersk, revealed that they will terminate the 2M alliance effective in January 2025. Does this present any new opportunities for Westports?
Well, with the termination of the alliance, essentially that means that Mediterranean Shipping Company will need to exit or de-hub from Port of Tanjung Pelepas, which is basically one of the key transit hub for the 2M alliance. So they'll definitely start looking out for potential new port partners, and we think Westports could be one of the key potential beneficiaries, but it's still years down the road. At the moment, we still don't have any solid visibility on this, but I think these are one of the key potential catalysts to look forward to for Westports.
And finally, what is your call on the sector? Which subsectors do you like, and what are your top picks?
Within the sector, for Malaysia, I like Malaysia Airports and Westports. So I think I would prefer to avoid the airlines. So those are my two topics. They're pretty more defensive compared to an airline business, because running an airline, you're exposed to many variables such as competition as well as fuel costs. So what else? For infrastructure, they tend to be more defensive.
Ahmad, thanks very much for speaking with us. That was Ahmad Maghfur Usman, equity analyst at Nomura Malaysia, giving us his take on the transport industry, citing Malaysia airports and westports as his top picks for this sector. Let's turn our attention to earnings, some earnings reports, which we'll do very quickly. We have Gamuda. They posted a net profit increase of nearly 10% to 195 million ringgit for its second quarter ended January 31st. And this is credited to stronger construction and property earnings, which filled in the void of its highway earnings following the divestments of its four highways last year.
The earnings improvement was also attributed to a tripling of its overseas earnings, which now contributes to half of its overall earnings compared to just 22% previously. As a result, earnings per share rose to 7.46 cent from 7.05 cent in the corresponding quarter last year. And as you're saying just now, quarterly revenue jumped 18% to 1.4 billion ringgit from 1.2 billion ringgit. These results were above analyst expectations.
And how does it has that translated to any movements on their share price?
Yes, trading at 419 0.05. If you see, the analysts really love this stock. Only 17 buys, 2 holds, only 1 sell. So there's generally consensus that it's doing pretty well. 12-month target price at 461.
All right. We are coming up to 9:29 a.m. But don't go away, because after that, we have WTF, or What's the Focus, our roundup show of the top stories of the week that's happening after the news bulletin. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.